All right, are you guys ready for environmental policies? Yeah, all right. I like it, I like that enthusiasm. All right, we're gonna go ahead and get started. So again, for those of you on the phone, we'll be going through and hopefully you're participating either on the computer and you can see the slides and you can hear us. I will try my best. I am not nearly as good as Drew is in repeating the questions back. So and I know you'll have lots of questions and lots of input on this. But kind of a little background for those of you that might not have participated in our last workshop. But last September we did a workshop, and at that time we presented a concept of three new environmental policies, and the idea of a one-stop shop for all things in environmental purchasing. And we got really positive feedback about both, which is why we're back here today presenting. And I'm really, really pleased to share some of the draft work that we have developed and some tools and resources, and to get your input on them, because this is based on a lot of significant work from our stakeholders. We have coordinated with the Department of Ecology. We have worked with our Attorney General, thank you, Mark, and a lot of market research around this. So I'm really excited to kind of have you guys take a look at it and give us some feedback on this. So first, let's just start looking at kind of the canvas of Washington's universe of existing statutes, rules, policies, directives. And I know it's kind of hard to read, you know, from far away, but basically what we did is we looked at these and said, okay, well, we need to do an inventory of what is this universe? What does it look like? And then when we did that, we kind of put stickies on a wall. I don't know if you guys have ever done, you know, like kind of the scrum work. So we did a variation of that and identified that they kind of fell in four different buckets. One bucket refers to toxics. And another bucket, so the second one is related to vehicles and fuels. Third bucket is about recycled products, and then the fourth one is electronic products. So, and I'm sure there's probably others, but this is kind of the way we slice and diced it. So, and looking at that framework. So, for example, the three policies that we'll be talking about specifically today are the recycled product, and that one actually falls bucket, the orange one there. And then we've got the electronic products. It has its own category, which is the fourth bucket, the gray one. And then the last one is our mercury reduction, which is a persistent toxic. And so that falls into our first bucket there, the blue category. So, so kind of keeping that in mind, talking about the three different policies, this slide is just to show the different statutes that relate to the three different ones, the recycled products, the electronic products, and mercury reduction, just as a reference there. The next few slides will go into specifically the draft policies that were shared when we sent out the communication about the workshop. So hopefully you guys have had a chance to take a look at the policy, and if not, it's out there as well. But just a quick summary of the things that we incorporated into the policy based on the feedback that we received. The rules on this one in particular actually specify that that there's a preference percentage of 10%. So the policy and the procedure are actually intended to clarify how the preference is applied. There's also a number of statutes related to this one. This is kind of a one that was very circular. I think it was probably the most difficult one for me anyway. I don't know if it reflects in the work, but because there are so many different ties to different federal guidelines, different statutes, different rules, some that are conflicting with others potentially. And so we had to kind of work through that. The policy is intended to kind of bridge that gap. So hopefully make some clarification around that and some guidance. We also wanted to try to clarify the products that are impacted so that it was pretty, so it's pretty clear as to when you look at the policy, okay, here are the products that I need to look at. It's not, you know, this widespread potentially. Recycled products has a little more far-reaching than maybe some of the others that are a little more narrowly defined, but does help to try and define which products are impacted for ease of use. We do have some, we don't call them exemptions, we call them when you don't have to apply the preference on this. So we've got some a category of that information. We do have in there about a mandatory DES training program. And what we're trying to do, and you'll notice that that is going to be, I'm getting drawers down here. That will be on all of the three different policies. And what we've tried to do is we're working with, and I don't see your, so we were working with Sunday, who was just up here on this, to help us go through a training program to try and maximize some of our current resources. So for example, many of you are probably aware, we do have a PCBs training already. And so we're trying to use those existing resources to maybe tie into that and or do something that we're, you know, making it easy to use. It's convenient, so hopefully it'll be, you know, online and meaningful. So we're trying to do something maybe as an umbrella for all three as opposed to each one individually, but those are still in the works with that. We do have a section that talks about compliance. And in this section, we have, and you'll, again, you'll notice this in all three of the policies, that there's a section about using WEBS to report environmental attributes. And as Greg had mentioned for the executive order, we're also working with the WEBS group to come up with a way that we can track that in WEBS so that you can, like when you do your, put your solicitation in WEBS, you can click on, yes, we've got recycled content, or we've got mercury, or we've got executive order 1803. So those are the things that we're working on to put those buttons that you can track it when you do the solicitation, and then also at the time of award. So that again is in all three of the policies. And then on this one in particular, we also created a draft procedure and an FAQ. And by the way, just for purposes right now, I mean, I'm not gonna go into each of the individual ones, but know that they are linked here and we'll be sharing the presentation after the fact, and you'll have that as a resource tool as well. Okay. Before I move on, what I'd like to do, I know I have some questions at the end of the presentation around prompting you on the feedback, but I thought it might be easier to maybe capture questions related to the specific policies and their appropriate documents after each one. So I don't know, does anybody have any initial feedback, any observations? Is it clear, easy to implement? I'd like to hear back on that. So any initial thoughts? No? Did anybody read it? All right. I won't. Well, I did put you on the spot, but I won't make you answer it. All right. Well, then let's move on. So we'll go on to electronic products. And this one, in the actual policy itself, we have the proposed preference percentage of the 10%, it's actually 5 to 10% depending on what you're applying it to. In this case, the statute didn't specifically identify it like it did with the recycled content where it was identified in rules. So therefore what we did is we proposed a 10% percentage so it could be consistent with the recycled content because kind of similar categories that they're both dealing with recycled materials and, you know, a number of similar environmental attributes. And in this case, the body that we're using to do the measurements and tracking and identifying the products is EPEAT. So, and for anybody that doesn't know, EPEAT is the, I had to write it down, Electronic Product Environmental Assessment Tool, but they're involved with the Green Electronics Council, and they are an independent third body. So they're the ones identified as clarifying the products that are impacted with this. So, and that's also in the policy. One quick thing about the EPEAT that you'll see in the policy and related to the preference is that We tried to break it down because EPEAT has different categories. So they have a bronze, they got a silver, and they've got a gold. And then also what we heard back from, is anybody here from ecology? No? Okay. All right. So I can say whatever I want about ecology. We worked hand in hand with ecology on a lot of this to make sure that the things that we were trying to incorporate in here made sense, that wasn't conflicting with what they're doing, wasn't conflicting with what SEEP is doing. So when we worked with ecology, we talked about the different levels that are offered in the EPEAT category. And so what we landed on was that the bronze, so that's the bronze rating, is the minimum. So in order for somebody to be responsive, if the products fall in those specific categories, then they're required to be bronze rating in order to be considered responsive. The other ratings that they have are the silver and gold. And then the silver, if a product has a silver rating, they would get a 5% preference. And then if they have a gold rating, they would get the 10% preference. Kind of what we're proposing right now. So there also may be some situations, it didn't sound like when I talked to ecology and with EP and some of the other industry, that there was a lot of other products that didn't really fall into the EP arena, but there could potentially be. There could be some that are manufactured, overseas. There's a European standard. So we built in some other ways that you can include, take into consideration for those preferences as well, if a product just didn't have an EP rating on that. So hopefully the policy clarifies how you would apply that. But if it doesn't, let us know on that. Again, there is an area in the policy that talks about when the preference doesn't need to be applied. There is the mandatory training program again, and I mentioned that earlier, that you're going to see it in all three of them. And we're trying to come up with we've got ideas around what that training program is going to look like and how it's going to incorporate into what we already have. And so that everybody isn't doing all these different trainings separately. So those type of things we're considering. We have policy compliance requirements. And then for this one, we created a draft frequently asked questions document to help support the policy. So again, I will stop here. It's kind of a summary of what was all included in this policy based on the feedback. And I know you guys are seeing it for the first time when we sent it out a couple weeks ago, but any initial thoughts? Is it clear? Is there anything that you have questions about? Yes. Is it strictly related to purchasing for what? Yep. So typically, I mean, the training is definitely for the purchasers and how they would apply a preference and how they would utilize it and some tips and tricks on what that might look like in their solicitation. But from a vendor's perspective, which is why we have, invited vendors here as well, is that it might be helpful for you to understand what the agencies are looking for and what they have to comply with and might be able to offer suggestions with regards to that. So the trainings are typically put onto our website, and they're not limited, as far as I know, that a vendor or anybody would have access to it. Oh, I see. I told you I was going to be really bad about that. Sorry about it. So the question for those of you on the phone, I apologize, that from a vendor's perspective, is the training specific to purchasers, and do vendors have access to it? Did I capture that? Okay, yeah. Yes, another vendor question. My name is James, and I'm with NetApp. We provide a HVAC system. I designed those units to run more efficiently, reduce energy costs, reduce maintenance costs, and reduce greenhouse gas efficiency.
My question is, under this policy, does that include like industrial HVAC systems, commercial HVAC systems?
So the question was, is from a vendor asking about if this policy, the electronics purchasing preference policy, if it includes HVAC equipment. Right. So my answer is no. And the products that are impacted are listed as PC and displays, servers, mobile phones, imaging equipment, televisions, and then other future identified products from EP. So, yeah. Any other questions before we move on? Were you raising your hand back there, Phil?
Yes.
Well, that's for mercury, not for the electronics. So, okay. Yeah. Yes. The question for those of you on the phone was pointed out that the mercury policy, the one that we're going to be talking about next, does include heating and cooling equipment. Anything else? Okay. All right. Well, then let's move on to mercury. Thank you for that segue. Oh, yes. So for bronze, there's not a 10%. So let me rephrase the question again, because I don't think they can hear you from there. So the question that came in online was in relationship to a 10% preference for the EP bronze, which is in relationship to the electronics products purchasing preference policy. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The 10% for bronze, 5% for silver, and then 10% for gold. And at the bronze level, there is no preference. It is simply the minimum standard to meet the requirement in order to be responsive. So if you're purchasing something, let's say you're purchasing some servers, well, you would put in your solicitation that the language associated with the electronic preference. And then once you got bids, if somebody bid, I mean, it would have to be EP bronze at a minimum to meet the requirements in order to be responsive. Then if you have others that bid with a silver, then they would get the 5% preference, or others that bid with gold, they would get a 10% preference. No, they are not cumulative. The preferences are not cumulative.
So based on the rating system in EP, if you don't meet bronze, you can't get the contract. Period. You don't get any preference for meeting bronze.
Correct. If it's one of those targeted categories. Right. If it's one of those targeted categories, it has to meet bronze, unless there is unless EP does not rate the product.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then you sell without having the preference.
For
better.
For silver or gold, right. Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. All right. Anything else before we move on to the mercury? Cool. All right. So with regards to mercury, you'll see a lot of the same themes, but there are some unique differences with relationship to the percentage. And then this one, in the policy, we have identified the product categories impacted. Once again, that was something that we heard a lot of feedback, like, how are we even going to know which products are in here? So we really tried to do a lot of homework so you guys didn't have to do it on your own. We clarified how the preference shall be applied. And again, in this case, the statute does not specify the percentage preference. So therefore, on this one, we specified a 5% preference to be consistent with the PCB's purchasing preference, as they have similar attributes because they're both in the toxics category. So that was the rationale behind it. So I would love to get any feedback you have with regards to that. There's a section with regards to when you would need to apply the preference. And then this one has a couple of, because it tags onto, as you'll notice, the statute with this one is 70.95M.060. That one is not a DES statute. It is an ecology statute that has some requirements for DES in there. And so in addition, within that statute, it does have some information in regards to the proper disposal and some penalties associated with that. So we built those into the policy so that you knew the full scope of what that meant. And then again, the training and some compliance requirements are built into it, similar to the other two policies. I don't have anything else in regards to the mercury. Are there any questions, initial thoughts, observations? Simon, hi. The electronic? Oh, okay. Leased equipment? Well, I think if your purchase falls under 3926, then it's going to apply. You're welcome. Oh, thank you, Drew. The question was, does the electronic products purchasing preference policy apply to leases? Right. Did I get that, Simon? Okay. And the answer was, if the purchase applies to under 3926, then the policy would apply. Okay. All right. Nothing else on mercury? Because I have something really exciting. You guys are going to be excited about this. I hope it comes up. All right. So one of the other things that we heard from the group last time that we presented this and the concept and the ideas around it was, we'd like to have everything, you know, because we asked about, well, what about like kind of an umbrella policy around this? And what we heard back was more around, we'd like to have like a manual or something in one place. We'd like to have all the resources so we can have access to it. All of your tools, we'd like to have some sample contract language. And so we think we might have some tools at least to present to you that can get us started on this conversation. And I want to show you what we've developed around this and kind of walk through one of the examples just so you can see how it would be intended to work. Because my question to you as you're thinking about this, and I'm showing them to you, these different tools, because all three of these here are different tools that we've come up with. I'd like for you to think about, you know, could I implement this, or is this something that would be helpful to me for implementing the policies, not just these three policies, but environmental purchasing policies in general, or environmental purchasing directives, or environmental purchasing desires around this. So it's the right thing to do, right? So we're going to go. All right. Moment of truth. Hold your breath. Okay. A decision tree that we developed. As that's coming up. Yay. Okay. The decision tree. So let me see if I can get this to where it's a little bit. Okay. So, all right. So I thought, so this is a decision tree that we came up with that kind of goes through, I hate to walk away. I hate being tethered to this, but the mic's right here. So, all right. So, the gray box up above, is the different product categories. As we went through and we did an inventory of all of these. So if you were to go through as a purchaser, and this is the intent of it, is to go through and say, okay, well, I'm gonna be purchasing hearing aid batteries. And that's what this is up here. This is a picture of hearing aid batteries, a packet of those. So I'm going to go through this decision tree, and you're going to start all the way on the left, and you're going to say, okay, is the product available as a recycled product? Well, I don't know. How do I know? There's, you know, it's a, that's a pretty broad category. But you can click on this. Let's see if it works. Yes, please. Okay, it did. Good. So then it'll take you to that. So all I did was click, and there's a link there, and you can go. It's kind of weird doing this behind my back. There's a product listing. Right here. And this is where all of the information would be. Okay, so is there hearing aid button cell batteries on here? There's not. I'll save you the trouble on that. But that's how that's intended to work. So then let's see. I'll just go away. My decision tree. So then you'll continue down the list. And is it a vehicle? No. Is your purchase a fuel? No. Is your purchase paper? No. Is your purchase a computer, server, monitor screen, or cell phone? No. Is your purchase firefighting chemical or firefighting system? No. Is your purchase food packaging? No. Is your purchase a mattress or upholstered furniture? No. Is your purchase an air conditioner or aerosol product? No. Is your purchase a thermometer, light bulb, button cell battery, and mercuric battery or medical supplies? Yes, it is. So what we would do is go down and we'll say, why, yes. Now, the next question is your purchase at risk of containing PCBs, the polychlorinated biphenyls? And so what you would do is there's a link to the PCB risk calculator. And so then you have to ask yourself, okay, so we know that there's the mercury side, but here's the PCB's risk calculator. If anybody has taken the PCB training, which is really awesome, it walks you through this. And so this should look familiar. If you haven't, this is really all it is. So then you just go through, the product appears to have color, pigment, or dye. No, probably not. It's the battery does, it's silver. The product is clothing. Oops, let me check that box. Nope, it's not clothing. Does it contain fish, meat, or dairy? No. The product is likely to be consumed by humans or animals. Gotta hope not. The product is paint? No. The product's to be used outdoors? No. It's fluid that goes into an engine or motor vehicle? No. It's intended as a cleaning agent or detergent or personal care product? No. It's silicone, lubricant, adhesive, or caulking? No. Large quantity of this product is being purchased? Yeah, we're going to purchase a bunch of them. Product is used for construction? No. After purchase, the product will be touched by more than one human or animal? I don't know. So I'm going to just err on the side of, yeah, possibly. Is the product paper? No. Is the product a medical supply? No. The product's individual packing or labeling includes colorings. Well, if you remember the packaging that I had on there, it has bright yellow. So the answer is yes. Now, I know how this ends up, but I will show you. It's locked. Can't get to it. I'm going to scroll up. I need to move this. Okay, calculate. So, let me get this out of the way here. I don't know why that's up. So it shows that it's in the lower risk here. But for sake of argument, we're just going to say it's higher risk, just so I can show you my example that I'm really proud of, okay? So we're going to say, oh, yeah, then it does have some risk of having PCBs in it, so we might want to do something around that as well as the mercury, okay? Oops, just going away from my decision tree. All right, so back to the decision tree. It's taking its time. Oh, there we go. Okay. So then what we have done is through the decision tree. So now we've said, here's where we are. So yes, it does apply to the mercury category. Yes, it's high risk of containing PCBs, for the sake of argument, right? You guys with me on that? So then it's got a yes and a no. So really the way it calculated, you could come out here and just use option 17, which would be in relationship to just purchasing using the mercury. But we're going to do this one because I want you to see how we've incorporated in both PCBs, because a lot of questions came back. Well, what if we have more than one? And so this is attempting to provide some guidance around that. So we've got some sample language that we would recommend for your contract or for your solicitation. And this one's on the mercury. And then we've built in the PCBs as well. So it's got both the mercury and PCBs. So you can see that. And for those of you on the phone, if you're on the computer, you're following along with this. If you're not on the computer as part of the Zoom login, this will be made available when we provide the slide deck. Okay, so there's all the contract language. And then here's some certification forms, some examples of that. So that's the mercury one. Then there's a PCB. And then at the end of this is an example of what you would do for a bid solicitation. So in this case, we identified that there was both PCBs and mercury. So we did a preference for both of them in there. And so you can see that we gave points for the different things. So we gave points for the price, we gave points for the non-cost factors, such as references and delivery time. And then we also gave preference points for PCBs and for mercury. And so you can see, I'm stepping away from you. And then what this demonstrates is that although bidder A was the lowest in cost, they didn't win because of the preference that bidder B got through the PCBs and with mercury. So, you know, can make changes with regards. So in this case, you would end up awarding to bidder B and you would be, you know, helping the environment in the PCBs area. Looks like they both had some attributions with the mercury. But you've also got the PCB and mercury attributes that are beneficial. So it's a win-win on that one. So anyway, so just some thoughts around that. Not fully functional because we wanted to share it with you guys to see if this would even be helpful before we even spent any more time trying to roll into this. So. The next, any questions about the decision tree that I just shared? This one is another tool that we came up with, and it's just a different look, but these are all, it's based on product. So you could go and search by product, and it would be a different viewing of looking at it from, okay, well, I know I'm doing awards, so, okay, well, are you going to do wood? You know, are they going to be made of wood? And here is the minimum requirements associated with that. I think you get the idea. Let's see if I can go over. There you go. Oops. So if you're doing wood, 100% total recovered materials content. So that's what you would put as a minimum in your solicitation because that's the requirement from EPA. And so in this case, I don't think you can get higher than 100% total recovered materials content. Therefore, there wouldn't be a preference beyond that because that's going to be your minimum, okay? So another way of looking at it and being able to sort the products, and if you wanted to, you know, alphabetize it, quicker way to look at it. And actually, I got this from Massachusetts. They are using it and have some really great success from it. So. And then the last one is kind of more of the manual feel that people were asking for. And one of the things that, you know, that I had a vision all along is I really wanted it to be all in one location. I wanted all the resources, all the policies, everything in one area. And so that's kind of what the thought is around this. Oops, not like that. The desk aid. There we go. So what this is, it's just more of an outline really of what it could look like. There we go. So I'll give you a little bit different view. And so it's an outline of the first part of it is all of the different statutes, all in one location, everything that it relates to environmental purchasing, and not just statutes, but executive orders, different things that, others have put in place, and desirable or areas. So then we have all of the policies and procedures. So they would all be linked here for quick reference. And then we've got some of the tools. So some of the things that we talked about, like the decision tree, and there's the PCB's desk aid that's already available and out there. We're talking about doing like an environmental purchasing risk calculator in general, not just a PCB's risk calculator. There's EP has a benefits calculator that's out there that identifies you can plug in what you're purchasing, and it'll tell you what the environmental benefit is by you making that purchase. So it's kind of cool when you're reporting out or reporting to the governor or whatever, saying, hey, we just saved X amount of trees, or this many milk cartons were diverted from the landfill. So there's a lot of cool stuff in there. And then we wanted to have like an area for forms. We've got sample contract language that we would link to that, I showed you a little earlier, a section on best practices, a section on resources, and then frequently asked questions that we have. I mean, and it's limitless. I mean, this is just an outline of the things that we've heard so far, but and really the vision is, I mean, if the other two tools seem like something that would be worthwhile, it almost seems like we would build it all into this one here as a single single tool, and then everything would be in one place. So that's kind of the thought around it, but I'd love to get your feedback with regards to that. So any initial thoughts? So I have, we talked about the policies. We talked about the policies, and unless there's any specific questions about that, I would like to go to the second bullet to find out what tools would be helpful for implementing the consolidated approach to the policies. And I shared these three, but are there other tools that anybody can think of? And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the ones that I shared. And yes, we have a question back there.
So
the question is, how is DES going to implement these into the DES master contracts? And we will, just like the regular purchasing. They'll be implemented in. And the beauty of it is that when you're using a master contract, you can be confident that those things have been considered. Okay. Other questions? Any thoughts on the... Isn't anybody as excited about those tools as I am? Is it too late? Oh, we got a question. Some excitement back there. Like, me. Your PCB raincoat. That's great. I you know what? I have a yellow blouse, and I wore it to a sustainable purchasing leadership council meeting one year in Denver, and it was my PCB shirt.
That is the boxes for colors and the units of the ranger. Big red and black ranger, all the boxes. What can you do to actually eliminate those? I mean, we call them out. I mean, we're going to do it. Let's call them out. And the package that they use inside, because it's like Amazon, you get, I'm sure they come, you get a box this big, which might be this big inside the box.
Those
are the things that make you better. Those are the things that make your impact overall.
say, okay, we eliminate, you know, you have a yellow ring fence anymore, but, you know, we're buying something else that's in a, you know, this doesn't have as many PCBs, but it comes in a box this big and has hazardous patent materials in it. Those are the other things, not just the product, that really will, if you want to talk environmental policy, will help more than just.
Thank you. So the comment was in relationship to the product packaging and making a difference with the packaging would be a huge benefit for the state, probably more of an impact is what I heard you say. Okay. So, and just so you know, I mean, in some cases, the packaging does apply, depending, like there's one statute that's specifically related to food packaging. And then if you've taken the PCBs training, it's really great because although it's, you know, it's the products and packaging. So one of the things that it's talked about in the PCB training is, and the example that's used is the red Solo cup. Well, do you really need a red Solo cup? Why can't you use a clear one? You know, so I mean, really it's part of what you're doing is, you know, using some judgment, trying to make some decisions around that and, you know, and trying to make those changes. The other thing too, and that's, you know, the other reason that I love having the vendors in here as well is because now you can see some of the things, but from a vendor's perspective, it might be nice to say, you know what, do you really need red Solo cups? Why don't you guys use the clear because it's more environmentally friendly, you know, and calling us out on that, because I think those are the areas that we get so mired into, you know, making those purchases. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, my end user said they needed to have this. Well, do they? So, and it helps us bring the question back like, oh, well, there's other options for this. Did you even know? So I think those very valid point, and I think those are the things that people need to be thinking about through that. So thank you. Yes. Oh, yeah. Because of the testing, are you referring to the PCBs? So, so the question or the comment was in regards from Lottery about the marketing materials, and a lot of that is colorful, and I think it probably relates more to the PCBs requirements around that. But and the testing does take time, and there is a cost associated with that. So, but if you have suggestions around how that, you know, might be improved, we would love to hear from you in regards to that. Or, and again, even asking the vendors what they might suggest. Thanks. EC.
When you're defining the policy, how states can comply with that existing legal requirement. So just a clarification that enterprise services is not creating the law on these policies. They're taking existing law and then giving agencies tools to be able to learn how they can comply with that law. And that's what the conversation is about. And I will say that enterprise services are seeing more environmental policies. We are seeing the legislature, others office, they're seeing more requirements.
Thank you, EC. And just for the people on the phone, the comment was that DES is implementing these laws that have already been passed. And so what we're doing is we're putting in place tools around how to implement those laws that have been passed through the legislature. I mean, some a long time ago that we should be doing these already. We're just putting in tools to help with that. But there are going to be more as goes on. I mean, just this last legislative session, we just had hydrofluorocarbons. So there's more to come and they'll continue to come. So that's one of the benefits of some of the tools that we're putting in place, that it will be able to incorporate new environmental purchasing laws and directives as we move forward. So, yes. Appreciate it. So, so the comment was in regards to the vendor training, and that it might be helpful to have something collaborative with the vendor community to offer some training so that the vendor community can help agencies implement down the road. Did I capture that okay? Okay, great. Thank you for that feedback. And just real quickly, because I know you brought it up a couple of times, I'd love to hear from the vendors in the room. Would that be helpful? I mean, something for us to consider, that some training so that you guys could help the agencies? I mean, would it be something that you would go to? I mean, we'd hopefully make it, you know, pretty succinct and easy to use. And but yeah.
Okay. So I know, okay, I can't offer you that it rips too high on your risk factor. So that I know how to adjust my product.
Okay, thank you. The comment from one of the vendors was that having the tools that I shared earlier is helpful to so that they can understand what the agencies are dealing with and some of the restrictions that they're dealing with. So, right, making it available and to use the tools. Making that available to the vendors and that the vendors are utilizing that. So any other comments? Any other thoughts on the policies themselves before we move on? Okay, so, Mark, yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm curious, the recycled products preference provides an opportunity for agencies to waive application of products. I'm curious, do any of the agencies here use the recycled products preference? Are you routinely waiving that preference? I don't know what people are doing with that. I'm curious.
Good question. So the question for those on the phone is, are any of the agencies utilizing the recycled products purchasing preference at this time? Because it is in law. We just don't have a policy for it yet. Yeah. So the comment by State Auditor's Office is that you're using copier paper and refurbished telecom equipment. Okay, thank you. ACB does also? Okay, thank you.
From
things like paper products, toilet paper, paper products, fashion paper, it's also always the preference to buy a green product and not something that maybe can use that maybe some has a material. It is the preference for green material that is focused on our spend on those materials. We can even more than spend green use that for even not using it like now, you know, when fertilizers, the green product was, you know, a lot more expensive than the cost of the product. Now everything's coming down, working with really there, it's a lot. There's not a, an increase that increases cost of the building. Most businesses are providing their products that we use often as a contract for them. That is, thing that's our focus. That's the first thing that comes up on our search list is green products, not.
Thank you. Yeah, and that was DOT, and their comment was they do all the paper products are the recycled, and then looks like sounds like you guys do then the next I guess I don't want to call it preference, but your next you know, characteristic that you look at is the green around that. Did I capture that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay. So, kind of the next steps with this is, again, we're asking for feedback by June 13th on the policy and the tools around this. Would love to hear your feedback specifically to, is it clear? Is it some, you know, easy to understand as far as implementation? And then any feedback on the tools, and if you have suggestions for others that you're aware of that we might not be, would love to hear that as well. Your options to provide feedback are both through our specific enterprise procurement policy mailbox, or you can contact Drew Farrell or myself. So, and then...
Well, I thought about saying that. I did, Drew.
I did. And then what we'll do is we're going to compile all the feedback, just like we did this last time, and provide responses to it and make appropriate revisions to the policy. And then we'll be sending those out to the stakeholders for further review and input. So, all right. Good. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to be here and talking through this, because a lot of great initial thoughts going into this. So I hope you guys found some of your input recognize, you can recognize it in what you saw in the work today. So anyway, with that, I think we're gonna take a little break.
Yeah. So